People, I'm Daryl's other brother, Darrell. And those of you who are laughing are old enough to remember the Newhart Show, generally. It's my privilege to be here with you. I know it's a month late, but Happy New Year. I bring you greetings from the Kentucky Baptist Convention. I am your Sunday School and Discipleship Missionary. That's probably my preferred title. Honestly and truthfully, I'm paid through cooperative program giving. I'm a state missionary. We tend to think of international missions or North America missions, but I'm a state missionary. My territory is the Commonwealth of Kentucky, the 2,300 plus churches of Kentucky. I focus in Sunday school, discipleship, small groups, senior adults. If I'm there a little bit longer, it's liable to be another job or two. So I've been there 27 years, and it's been my joy to serve the Lord and the churches of Kentucky. I'm so delighted to be with you today. Folks, I need to tell you, we have a problem. We have a problem. I want to invite you to turn with me in Genesis chapter 6. We're going to be looking in some scripture in just a minute, but we have a problem. Over my 27 years of serving you in the Kentucky Baptist Convention churches, my observations of churches and our society has led me to the strong conviction that there is a lot of biblical illiteracy. Biblical illiteracy. We don't know God's Word. I believe that many in our churches have failed to grow, at least as I have talked to pastors, they have failed to grow because they are still relying upon that first year of Christianity. They're still babies in Christ. Now, why in the world has that happened? What is the problem that has brought this about? I don't believe that's happening here, but I want you to know it's prevalent in the state. This is the issue. I believe it's a failure to train believers in how to study God's Word for themselves. For themselves. Pastors and teachers, you see, each week, they share what they have learned when they've spent time in God's Word, but they fail to tell how they got there. How did they learn it? And we've got to not only pass along what we're learning as leaders, but we've got to pass along how they can get in God's Word and get to know Him and His instructions for them as well. The consequences of biblical illiteracy are huge. They're serious. Without a fresh daily relationship with God and His Word, disciples don't grow. Disciples don't know where to go. They don't know how to live. Disciples don't influence our world. And as a result, the world grows more and more evil. More and more evil. Well, how do we address this problem? How do we turn this thing around? What can you and I do in order to find favor with God to be able to influence this world in which we live? I want us to look in Genesis 6 to see what we can learn from Noah. Noah, a familiar character in our Bibles that we probably have been thinking about since we were children, but I believe there are important lessons for us today to teach us and answer this problem. I want you to understand, in Noah's time, it was like our time. It was evil all the time. Our culture, we can see the influence of Satan and evil all around us. Well, look with me in Genesis chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse 5. The Lord saw that human wickedness was widespread on the earth, and that every inclination of the human mind was nothing but evil all the time. Verse 7, the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I created, off the face of the earth, together with the animals, creatures that crawl, and birds of the sky. Wow. Evil all the time. In the midst of an evil time and an evil generation, Noah appears on the scene. So let's look to see what we can find out in that very next verse. Read with me in verse 8. Noah, however, in the face of this evil all the time, Noah, however, found favor with the Lord. Verse 9. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among his contemporaries. Noah walked with God. Verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with wickedness. God saw how corrupt the earth was, for every creature had corrupted its way on the earth. Then God said to Noah, I have decided to put an end to every creature, for the earth is filled with wickedness because of them. Therefore, I'm going to destroy them along with the earth. Verse 14, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Jump down to the last verse of chapter 6, and then we're going to continue reading into chapter 7. But in verse 22, and Noah did this. Carried out the instructions that God has given him about building the ark. And Noah did this. He did everything that God commanded him. Everything. Verse 1 of chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, enter the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you alone are righteous before me in this generation. Verse 5. And Noah did everything the Lord commanded him. Verse 6. Noah was 600 years old when the flood came, and the water covered the earth. So Noah, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives entered the ark because of the flood waters. Would you pray with me? Most gracious and most holy Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, you still speak. Lord, thank you for being alive and at work in our world, even in the midst of this evil generation. Lord, thank you for not only being alive in the days of Noah, but alive today with us. Lord, now speak to us in the time that we have together that we might know how to carry out your instructions and to be your people and to make a difference for you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Most likely all of us have heard the story of Noah's Ark and the Great Flood. But I want to help you today to see some important details from this story that make oh, so much difference. First of all, to quote the Newsboys, God's not dead. He is surely alive. I want you to see that God is alive and He's working in our world. He is paying attention to the state of our world. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and verse 8, we read, the Lord saw that human wickedness was widespread on the earth and that every inclination of the human mind was nothing but evil all the time. Noah, however, found favor with the Lord. You and I may have major concerns about the evil that we see all around us. Do you? I do. You may be praying, Lord, come soon. I am. We may wonder, why doesn't God do something? I sometimes wonder. The story of Noah reminds us, though, that God is paying attention. God is in control. And God has a plan. That's good news, folks. That's good news. And that's true not only for Noah's time, that's true for you and for me today. He sees our world and He sees you and me. When we spend time in God's world, we come to understand that truth. When we spend time in His Word, we understand that truth. When we spend time studying God's Word together, we remind each other of how God is at work in each other's lives as well. And that's why I very much am a strong supporter of Sunday school. I believe in Sunday school. When I show up to preach, I don't just show up to preach. I show up for Sunday school. I need to be with a group of believers who open God's Word and let God speak to them through His Word while we're gathered together. Sunday school is a gathering of encouragers and cheerleaders, helping one another to recognize how God is at work in these evil days. And it's a great place for us to learn how to study that Word so that we know how to get into God's Word between Sundays. I don't want us to be like the couple who brought their child home and they fed him on Sunday and then they forgot about him for the rest of the week. No, that's what can happen with a Christian when we feed them on Sunday, but we don't teach them how to be able to feed themselves the rest of the days of the week. Well, I want you to realize that there's some important things going on here, and I want us to notice in verse 8 a very important word. You see, God extends His favor to Noah, and God extends His favor to you and to me. Look in verse 8. Noah, however, found favor with the Lord. Favor. Noah experienced the grace of God. Grace is the unmerited, undeserved attention and blessing of God. Noah did nothing to earn it. And yet, God chose to lavish His favor, His grace upon Noah. As a result of God's favor in verses 9 and 10, we see that Noah was a righteous man, blameless among his contemporaries. He's found favor with man. And Noah walked with God, favor with God. Do you see that favor with God and man? Where did that come from? You see, this is the reality. On his own, Noah didn't have the strength of character to stand against the evil in his day. In fact, none of us do. But with the favor of God, with God's help, Noah was righteous and blameless. He did not walk the way of the world. Noah was able to walk against the grain of evil because he walked with God. This is going to become important as we continue through the story of Noah. When we open the pages of the Bible, we see in story after story about God's favor upon people. We see people in life situations like yours and like mine. We receive hope, and that helps us to be able to stand against the giants and to walk through the valleys. Studying God's Word together at church, and especially perhaps in Sunday school, remind us of God's favor and that we don't walk this struggle alone. Verse 12, God speaks. In verse 12 we read, God saw how corrupt the earth was. With that fact, along with the relationship between God and Noah, it should not shock us, perhaps, that God decides to share His plans with Noah in verse 13. God said to Noah, I have decided to put an end to every creature. Whoa. How would you like to be the recipient of that revelation? How would you like to carry the knowledge that of the fate of the world? Oh, by the way, you do. Because that information's right here. You have the knowledge about the fate of the world. What are you going to do about it? Let's look for Noah's response. Noah had a role in God's plan. We often open God's Word, and when we do, we see that He often chooses to use individuals. Sometimes they were shepherds. Sometimes they were prophets. or kings, and sometimes they were farmers like Noah. You need to see that. That's chapter 9, verse 20. Noah used people like Noah to carry out his instructions. By the way, this too is the favor of God. The fact that he can use any of us and all of us is his grace, his favor. The opportunity and even the ability to serve God in this way is completely undeserved. It's a blessing, a grace, a favor. You see, God chose Noah, in the very act of choosing Noah, God saved Noah. And he saved his family. Genesis 6:14, God says to Noah, "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood," or cypress in some translations. What follows then is a description, pretty detailed description, about how to build the ark. How many of you have been up to northern Kentucky and seen the ark? It's massive, massive. The description are given in those rest of the verses going through chapter 6 down to verse 22 that I read for you earlier. Its dimensions, how it will be used. In Sunday school, we gather together to hear God speak when we open His Word. We gather to understand, listen to this phrase, how to carry out the Lord's instructions. Does that sound like what Noah's getting here? Noah got instructed. We gather together to learn how to carry out those instructions as we live our daily lives. Well, let's look at Noah's response here. God extends His favor by inviting people, even whole nations, like you think Israel at that point, to respond to His invitation and His commands. While God is sovereign, He chooses to give people the opportunity to respond. Here, God did not force Noah to do His bidding. He's sovereign. He could have, but He chooses not to. God's favor, His grace, allowed Noah the opportunity to obey or to disobey, to continue to walk with God or to walk away from God. Aren't you grateful that he walked with God, that he made the decision to follow God? You see, there are consequences about every decision that we make, every opportunity that He calls us to carry out His instructions. Two verses summarize Noah's response, and I want us to look back at them. I read them for us earlier. Verse 22, the end of chapter 6, we read, "And Noah did this." He carried out those instructions. "And Noah did this. He did everything that God commanded him." And then we get an echo of that same verse in verse 5 of chapter 7. "And Noah did everything that the Lord commanded him." Obedience is a choice to accept the favor and the opportunity that God has offered. And I would say He offers that to you just like He did to Noah. It is a decision to continue walking with God. In the days, the evil days of Noah, there may have been many who questioned him about his building of this ark in the middle of a desert land. Many may have poked fun at his purpose and his persistence because it was a lot of years that it took to put that ark together. Some may have criticized the investment of his resources and of his time and of his energy, but Noah chose to respond by agreeing with God. He chose to respond by committing to carry out God's plans, and he chose to respond by obeying in every detail. Imagine if he'd only put tar on one side of the ark. What if he'd sprung a leak? What if everybody had perished? Every detail matters. Being faithful to carry out his instructions clearly is important. Noah did everything that the Lord commanded. And then Noah's obedience blessed others. If we read a little further, we read over Genesis 7:7, we read, "So Noah, his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives entered the ark because of the floodwaters." Noah's response to accept the favor that God offered in building the ark led to the salvation of not only himself, but of his family as well. You see, our choices about whether to obey God also come with consequences. Sometimes in advance, we may be able to see the benefits of obedience or maybe even the results of disobedience. But many are the times that we're just not going to know what the consequences are of our choices. And in those times, our choices for obedience are going to need to be based upon faith, based upon our past relationship with God. We've seen Him work in our lives. We understand and trust Him, and we choose to walk with Him rather than away from Him. You see, in advance, Noah could only see part of the picture. He only had a limited idea of the consequences of his choices. But in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, we read, "God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.'" You see, Noah had no clue that you and I would be his descendants. He had no idea about us. He had no idea that literally his faithfulness, his obedience, his choice to walk with God would end up literally filling the earth. You and I are indebted to Noah for his obedient response to the favor of God. Well, what lessons can you and I learn for our lives in this evil day today? And I've given them to you in your outline for today. Number one, God's not dead. God's still alive and working in our world today. Can I get an amen? He is aware of the evil condition of our world. But His work's not yet finished. He cares. He loves. He wants some to be saved. And it's our work to be able to carry that out. It's our work of the Great Commission, of carrying out that Great Commission to lead them to be baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and to lead them to be able to obey, to observe, to, by our teaching, to teach them to live it out, to carry out His instructions. Do you see His work all around you and that He's not finished? This is so important. Secondly, God extends His favor to you. In the midst of these evil days, God has extended His favor by sending Jesus to pay the sin penalty that you should have paid. We don't deserve this grace, none of us. We don't deserve His love, none of us. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, "But God proves His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Have you accepted God's favor extended through Jesus? God speaks to us through His Word. When we open God's Word, He speaks to us today just like He did to Noah. Are you listening? Are you listening to what He's saying? Not to everybody else, but to you. To you. To me. As Jeremiah says, call... That he basically is saying what God is saying at this point. God says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and incomprehensible things which you do not know. Call to him. In order to listen well, there's two critical questions that we should ask when we open God's Word. When you open it in worship, when you open it in Sunday school, when you open it in your private devotions between Sundays, there's two questions that you should ask. The first is, what is the key truth that was being communicated to the original hearers? What was God saying to them? What was the point of what God was saying to them then? And the second is, what's he saying to you, to me? We need to answer both questions. If we skip the first one, if we're not careful, we will twist the Scripture to our own destruction, as Peter says in the books, his writings called Peter at that point. No, we need to ask, what was the point to the original hearers? And then we can get it right about understanding the point and how it applies to today and to me. There are times when God invites you and invites me into moments filled with His favor where He shares plans for us. There are moments when His plans and demands are unexpected, beyond our comprehension and beyond our strength. And at other times, His commands, whether big or small, may be the very steps needed in order to continue walking with Him. Are you listening to Him speaking? I remember 28 years ago this summer, sitting down in a restaurant in Bowling Green, Kentucky, with a man named Vernon Cole, who served at the Kentucky Baptist Convention. And he began to describe this opportunity to serve as what was then called as the director of Sunday school to me. And as I listened to him, I began to get more and more and more intimidated about the size and the scope of that work. The thought of working together with 2,300 plus pastors, 2,300 plus Sunday school directors, 2,300 sets of Sunday school teachers was just bigger than I could imagine. I wasn't becoming more and more excited, Seth. I was becoming more and more afraid. And I went home and I shared the opportunity with my wife. And Yvonne said to me, Darl, I always knew God was going to do something like that with you. And I'm like, what? I mean, I didn't say it out loud, Seth. I mean, you know, I love my wife, but I'm like, I'm thinking, when were you going to tell me? But folks, I'm scared to death, and Yvonne already believes that's God's will. And Vernon wants a decision come Monday, and it's Wednesday, and I'm scared to death. So I prayed, and I prayed. And I prayed. And I know God has given me this woman for a reason, but I need to believe as firmly as she does. And I don't. I'm afraid. It got to the weekend, and I got real honest in my prayer strategy with God. And by the way, I highly recommend being honest with God. Be open with God. Share your fears. Share your concerns. He's got big shoulders. He can handle it. And this is my prayer, Seth. God, I can't do it. That was exactly my words. God, I can't do it. And you know, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I heard one of the clearest answers to a prayer that I've ever heard in my entire life. And it went like this. Darl, I'm glad you figured it out. I didn't want you to do it anyway. I want you to let me do it through you. And you know what? I immediately said, I can do that. I can do that. And I want you to know, many are the time when I get into my car after doing a conference or doing a consultation, I put my key in the ignition, and the first thing out of my mouth is, thank you, God. You know why? Because He was faithful to do what He said. That's where you are. You can't do it by yourself. You're not able to do this work that He's called you to. But He's calling you to a work that's bigger than you can do, and He's going to do it through you. Can I get an amen? So we have an opportunity to respond to Him speaking. When we open God's Word, God speaks. Folks, not occasionally, not sometimes. Every time. The question may be, are you listening? This is a call for you to agree with Him. This is a call for you to commit to obey Him. This is a decision to obey or disobey, to walk with Him or walk away from Him. How are you going to respond to His favor, to His grace? How are you going to respond to what He has spoken to you when you open God's Word, including right now? Finally, our obedience blesses others. Never underestimate what God tells you. Never underestimate what God calls you and asks you to do. Never underestimate how far-reaching a single decision for obedience or disobedience for you may be. This begins by spending time daily in relationship with Him in His Word. Lifeway Christian Research did some research a few years ago, and what they discovered was that the number one predictor of spiritual growth was daily Bible reading. Will you read your Bible daily? Will you listen to Him and do what He instructs you to do? Will you seek the favor of God and choose to walk with Him in these evil days? Will you commit to join with a group of believers to study God's Word together in Sunday school? Do you need the encouragement of this church family as you face these evil days to walk together with friends who are cheerleaders and encouragers for you? And finally, it may be that you're here and you need to ask Jesus to forgive your sins and to help you to live for Him every day. What does God want you to do as a result of our time together today? How will you respond not to Darrell, but to Him? Would you stand as we sing our hymn of invitation? And would you come?
Turn your hymnals to 288, Where He Leads Me.
Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, hasn't it? And I'm going to ask Brother Darrell to stand out back with me. And as you leave, come and give him a big hug, a handshake, and express your gratitude to him for being here with us. I pray that you would be obedient, like he said, to what the Lord is speaking through him, not just to him, but to the Lord. And I think for all of us, that means there's a step. All of us have one step we can take in response to today's message. I'll share with you what my step will be. One comment that he made, that Noah was obedient in every single detail. If he only put tar on one half of the ark, we'd all be in trouble. I need to be obedient in every single detail of what the Lord is commanding me. The same is true for you. So just to piggyback off of what he said, maybe that looks like Sunday school. We've been so blessed with the very best Sunday school teachers who prepare and open God's Word week by week. If you're not a part of Sunday school, would you take that step? If you need information about that, come and see us right after the service. Or maybe the step is, I'm in Sunday school, but Brother Seth, I need to take another step in discipleship. I need to be in a small group. I need some accountability. I need help learning how to study God's Word for myself. I just need to learn these things. Maybe that's the step. Or maybe the step is, I'm ready to help someone grow. I'm thankful for the way the Lord has worked in my life through the influence of others, so now I want to take that and disciple and help others grow. Maybe that's the step. And then, most ultimately, if you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there is only one step, and that is to come to Him. He's done everything necessary, just as our brother preached. He's done everything necessary for you to receive forgiveness and eternal life. And it's found in a relationship with Him, with Christ alone, by God's grace, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. Please take that step. This might be your last opportunity to do that. I pray that all of us would be obedient to take the next step that the Lord is leading us to take. Come back tonight. Skip that first half. Get fed again. And then go enjoy the rest of the game. But come back tonight and continue getting fed as we think about discipleship.
Thank you, Brother Darrell. Yeah, we do appreciate that. And reminders of 5 o'clock roundtable with Darrell, Pastor Seth. They'll be leading that. Also, too, at 6:30, Brother Chris Crazee will be here. And what a great time that'll be. And then a happy birthday, Brother Paul Preston. Little bird told me, so God bless you. Let's all bow. Father, we're grateful for the message we just heard. Fill us with your Spirit and inspire us to do your will with this life-changing charge. Lord, be with the events of the day, for the building of your kingdom. More than anything, we give thanks to your name. For your steadfast love and your faithfulness. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless y'all.